Welcome back to Raisin Brand, the official Pixel Labs podcast, where we talk about creative and marketing and how the two come together to build brands. Our goal with this podcast is to use our own experiences, along with that of our guests, to give you a little insight into how you can improve your brand or grow your skills in your marketing career.
Welcome back to the Raisin Brand Podcast. My name is Aaron. I'm your host for today. And today's topic I'm excited about is television and OTT in 2022. And I am joined by our producers here at Pixel Labs who have been in the agency game a lot longer than I have. So they have a lot of really good context on TV and commercials. But Tristan, Noah, thanks for coming and joining us today. I know you had to walk over
from the desk. Yeah, thanks for having us.
Super excited to be here.
So. Awesome. Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
Awesome.
Never been here before.
Well, this is our first podcast in the new studio, I think.
We haven't had a Raisin Brand podcast in here yet.
Oh, my goodness. So I'm so excited. But if you would, just so again, this topic is television and OTT in 2022. Would you both just be willing to quickly recap your experience with making commercials and just high level, you know, what videos have you worked on? Maybe if you had like a favorite one. Tristan, you mind going first?
Yeah. So when I think of, at least when it comes to television commercials, because we've done a lot of advertising media, but we don't often do television commercials. But when we do get to do them, I always enjoy it because I'll be at the gym and they have like, you know, the nine TVs up there, and I'll be like, oh, hey, there's that commercial that I shot. But one specifically that comes to mind is the Hard Worker campaign that we did for CFCCU. Mm-hmm. That was one that I think when it comes to television commercial production, it kind of blends in with all, you know, like the, I mean, all, yeah, I think it kind of blends in with all the national spots that you see. It doesn't look like what you would expect a local commercial to look like. And, you know, it technically, by definition, is technically a local commercial. It was for Cedar Falls Community Credit Union, a local credit union, and it's playing only in the local market. But I think we did a good job on the production of it in terms of making it look like it wasn't, you know, just your average mm-hmm. local commercial. Like, you know, like when you think of local commercials, you think often of like the car dealers.
Yep.
Or, and nothing against them. They have their market and everything, but we definitely wanted it to make it blend in with a lot of the, you know, bigger production commercials that you would see. And I think we did a good job of that. So that's one that comes to my mind, definitely.
Awesome. Well, and I think they're definitely, you definitely can tell. Like, even like the average person could be like, oh, yeah, there's always a look. But yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Awesome. Noah?
My first actually experience with Pixel Labs was going to a shoot where they were filming a CFCCU March Madness commercial bit. Yeah. Was like, we did three or four different commercials in one day. I was just kind of running like vlog stuff and whatnot at the time because I wasn't an employee or nothing. I was just kind of shadowing for the day. But that was really cool to see that whole process of like actually running through. And like we had like a set, which was like one, like a family member's house type of thing that we were using type of thing. Mm-hmm. We'd have lighting set up, like the full lighting set up and like camera set up. And like we were going through different shots and different takes and everything. So that was really cool to see. And that was probably like, that was my first experience doing that with Pixel Labs and whatnot. And then from there, yeah, like Tristan said, working on other commercials for CFCCU and doing a lot of other stuff. I tend to do more of my projects are more focused on like the digital space as opposed to the online stuff because I don't work super closely with CFCCU and stuff like that. But I do a lot of still like short ad spaces, just not always for television.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I think I really like about this team is we can approach these different projects from a very creative, you know, with different backgrounds. I know there's companies that they focus specifically on commercials, and so they kind of have that process down, and so you end up getting almost the same result on every single production. So I really appreciate that about this team. But going ahead and diving in. So again, just wanted to set some background for the folks that are listening. And so, again, this topic is television and OTT. And so, Noah, I know you did a little research before this one. Would you be able to succinctly, kind of just shortly describe what OTT is for maybe those who have never heard about it?
Yeah.
I'm sure that they are aware of what it is, but maybe they don't know that term.
Yeah. So, OTT is over-the-top advertising, as what it literally stands for. I had to read it a few times to make sure I was
It doesn't sound like a title.
I thought it was like a snarky title at first, and then I realized it was actually legitimate. So OTT, over the
it's
top.
It's kind of like asking somebody, what does IDK mean?
Yeah, right? and it's geared towards, it's over the top, which I then found out because it's geared towards the streaming platforms. Mm-hmm. So platforms, it's called over the top because those platforms are over the top, like entertainment or just like content platforms, where you pick what you want, you watch it whenever you want. Like, it's not like cable television where from 5 to 6 it's like The Simpsons, and then from 7 to 8 it's Family Guy. It's like, nope, we're doing like whatever you want, whenever you want. So then all those ads are just focused for that demographic, or could be slash some suggest should be mm-hmm. for that demographic. So if you're watching a comedy, show more comedic ads as opposed to like a drama where you might want more serious or even a whole different brand of ads.
Yeah, and you said it, but very simply, it's not your traditional cable television. Mm-hmm. It's through the internet. Through, you know, you could end up on like a cable program, but with these specifically, it's usually through your internet platforms mm-hmm. and then connect to a provider. You know, Netflix doesn't have ads, but you know, like a Hulu, Disney Plus, you know, Peacock, those are ones that come to mind.
HBO Max, I think, has an ad program now too.
I think so.
Where you pay, it's kind of like Hulu, where you pay a significant less fee, but they add the ads and everything.
They throw that in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is definitely a new opportunity for folks. It's been around for a little bit, but it's one that our clients are asking more about. And so we put together an article on our website, thepixelab.co. And so that's kind of what we're pulling this content from. But it's very interesting when you actually look at television and an OTT and kind of comparing, you know, what are the costs? You know, what are the audience that is attracting? And it's kind of interesting with CFCCU's audience in particular, their advertising, just because of different regulations, is kind of strict, you know, especially on Facebook, you know, as they're a credit union, they can't necessarily be very focused. And so to pull in different audiences, sometimes you have to go to these different platforms or use these different mediums. And so in the case of television and OTT specifically, we actually see a pretty big difference in the audience. So for example, you know, in 2022, 58.2% of U.S. households held a subscription or had access to a streaming service, which was a 2.3% increase over the previous year. This compares to just 44% of adults who subscribe to a cable TV service in May of 2021. So the dates aren't necessarily aligned there, but you get the picture that there's a pretty big difference.
Yeah.
You know, and I think you see it because of that difference, because of the opportunities, just like Noah, what you were saying with folks being able to pick what they want to watch, when they want to watch it. You know, TiVo came out and you could record things that you weren't present for, but you know, if the show isn't out yet or it hasn't aired yet, you're not going to be able to watch it. Mm-hmm. There's a pretty big price difference generally mm-hmm. between cable television and these streaming services. And so I think that's part of it. But another thing that's really interesting is FreeWheel, which is a Comcast company, in its analysis of some Nielsen data, so some television programming data, said that the median age of an OTT device viewer was 31 compared to 54 for traditional TV. And sounds so I'd just be curious, do you have any thoughts on that, or maybe what would kind of, you know, why that maybe would be?
I mean, probably just a generational mm-hmm. technological gap. Mm-hmm. I mean, as we start to get older, I think we'll kind of fill in the gap or fill in the margins of like, oh, the median age of people who are using streaming are probably going to be older at some point. Right. And then whatever is the next thing, you know, that'll be, you know, the younger generations using. So I think that's definitely part of it, is just a comfortability factor. Mm-hmm. I mean, those generations grew up on cable and probably are used to it and are fine with it. And, you know, honestly, they probably enjoy more of the content that is on cable, whereas our generation is growing up with a more on-demand lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the content that we, you know, are interested in is coming up more on these streaming services. So I think that definitely skews it lower a little bit. But yeah.
Yeah, thoughts, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I totally would agree with that. And so I just think it's really interesting. And I think too, you know, just to your point, you know, I think that folks like cable is, I'd still think it's a good option for the right person. And it's been a really good option over the length of time. You know, it's been around for a long, long time. But anymore, a lot of the new services and opportunities that are coming out are so user focused that we now have the ability to watch what we want when, you know, mm-hmm. that's the TV shows that we watch. That's the music that we're able to listen to. You know, YouTube, even you can go and watch literally anything because you probably can find it on there. And so as we think about commercials, you know, when they started out, television commercials were insane. You know, of course, just like anything, you know, whether it's website banners or email marketing, you know, as those things came into existence, they were super effective at the beginning. You know, and now you can, you know, get a TV commercial for $200 and get it running, you know, in the right spot.
Yeah.
But so thinking about just how important users or viewers' attention is, especially in this age and idea where we can pick whatever we want to give our attention to, which generally is the most interesting thing. What do companies have to consider when advertising kind of in this climate, you know, as they're thinking about the commercials, the content of their commercials, what do they need to remember to engage folks who are kind of living in this, I get to watch what I want to watch when I want to watch it, and commercials are kind of seen as intrusive. What do companies need to remember kind of creatively when making some of their commercials?
I think a little bit of it now has to, I feel like now it's that weirder, more harder line to toe for like the type of content you're creating, because with how you do like the streaming services stuff, you can obviously see like what types of people are watching what. So you could get really specific with your commercials. Mm-hmm. Like I know with what I watch, I see some things sometimes where it's like, almost feels like it's tailored to the type of person that I am. Like it's very much like a like interaction of like, oh wow, like this makes sense to me. But at the same time, if I'm a new viewer of a show or something, then that could put you off, because I know people also, like my dad is a huge like, for some, like he does this where if there's a commercial, if he's watching a show on one channel and there's a commercial, he'll flip to another channel like that mm-hmm. doesn't probably have a commercial on it or something, watch that for about 5 minutes and then go back to the original thing that he was watching because he didn't want to watch the commercials. Mm-hmm. So I could see someone like that where if you did get an overly targeted ad, so say like my dad is watching a show that I might have recommended, he's kind of getting into it potentially, but then like ads keep popping up of things that he just finds annoying or doesn't find any use for, then he might be totally turned off of like that show and then that ad as well. So mm-hmm. I feel like now they have companies have to toe this line of keeping it general, but yet because you can make it specific, you might as well make it also a little bit extra specific than what you could in the past. Like I know you shared, I don't want to totally get too far ahead if this is where you're going with all this, that ad in the blog, like the first ad that was ever made type of thing. Mm-hmm. And it was just a straight up blanket statement of here's the product and
we make watches.
Yeah, we make watches.
Yep.
Buy a watch.
Yep.
Like type of thing, as opposed to now where you can, like I've seen ads for like streaming services and stuff and whatnot where they show, I'm sure they have multiple different versions of it that pop up. Like when Disney Plus was first getting advertised, I noticed a lot of Star Wars stuff was kind of being shown in those commercials, mm-hmm. which I'm guessing they had probably a few different types of like, oh, for kids, we're going to show more of the Disney princesses in the banners and stuff. And then for the older kids, we're going to show more of like Star Wars or superheroes just to kind of get more of that attraction. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's just that weird line now, I think, of where they have to figure out who exactly they're trying to market to, but yet also how to keep it general.
I really think you hit the nail on the head. They have to know who their audience is. And then I think that that's then where the creative of the commercial actually comes in, mm-hmm. is you have to know who you're talking to. What are they going through? What are they deciding about? What's, you know, something that's stressful in their life? What's something that they look forward to? And how do you play off of those things? And, you know, that's something that TV, there's never really been a great solution for understanding who your television audience is, because I agree, you know, you have folks who, you know, say they watch this channel all the time, but then their habit is to, when the commercials come on, okay, they flip to this one.
Yeah.
And so one thing with OTT is just, you know, being over the internet, the ability to capture information. And so again, it's not perfect because you don't know, you know, is there one person in the room? Are there 15 who are all watching this show? So it can't be perfect. But understanding that information and those metrics to build that message is really important. And I think too, you know, one thing that's changed, especially recently, is the length of commercials. You know, as you look to TV, which is a little bit outside, or YouTube, which is a little bit outside of OTT, you know, even getting down to like 5-6 seconds, you know, having to, you know, capture somebody's attention in that 5-6 seconds to tell a story, you know, tell a story that's focused on the person who's watching, you know, not just saying we have watches by ours, you know,
yeah.
how does that make them, like, how does that help them achieve their goals or be more who they want to be? So I think that that's really interesting. And so talk about, you know, that 6-second commercial, those quick things, you know, what are some things that you think are really important that folks should consider if they're interested in kind of playing in that arena?
I would say an emphasis on utmost production, I think, is one aspect that you can take, because there's just a difference in quality. If you have an insanely high production value, and not even necessarily budget, but if you put effort in just making it look good.
Or just even planning.
Planning it out. Yeah. You know, having all that planned out before. Basically making it almost look as cinematic as possible, I think that's going to, you know, draw in some people. Mm-hmm. Where, I mean, if I had to pick a difference between, you know, a camera that, or a commercial that looks like maybe it was shot with, you know, little to no effort versus one that you can tell, like, they, you know, put the effort of movie making behind it, I think I'd be a little bit more inclined to watch that. But also, going into the copy or the writing of it, I think you have to have an immediate hook. And there's a couple different directions you can go with that. You can go the more, you know, the clickbait route, like, hey, I mean, I see a lot where it's like, hey, I lost this amount of weight with this program, or hey, do you want to make money doing this? You see that a little bit more on the YouTube side, I think, just because that's kind of the content that's there. But even on more of the OTT space, I think, you know, having I think their version of clickbait is that production value. You have, you know, like a Pepsi commercial with, you know, the spinning cans and all like the production there. Or you have, I see a lot of like wine commercials where they, you know, they filmed it on this lavish studio with all these bright colors and everything. I think those are directions that you can kind of hook that audience within the first 6 seconds, or even keep it confined to that 6 seconds. And as long as you have one of those two things there, I think you're have a pretty good shot of capturing some attention. So,
and I think you really hit it there with a lot of it is just going into the planning and what do we need to do a really good job. And I think it is, like, you do not have a large time to play with, so it needs to be very to the point. You know, there needs to be a little element of, you know, a story in there. Again, going back to that person, I think absolutely. Noah, did you have anything to add on to that?
I think pretty much just like the quick thing I could add on, because Kristen pretty much, yeah, like, got all the big points across. It's similar. I kind of equate it to like YouTube thumbnails and whatnot. Like, if you look at those, the ones that do really well are usually the, like, they're not necessarily pretty. Like, yes, there's like production value behind them and stuff, but they're just like almost like from a design standpoint, like really gaudy and just like everything's blown, like everything just fills the little frame type of thing, because it just gets your attention. So yeah, like what Tristan was saying, you just need to find those things. And if the first X couple seconds of your video, obviously you don't want to always just go with that absolute clickbait route. Like, I find it more interesting whenever they start with like a question, or it's like kind of how Apple does their commercials, where it's that like reverse like bullseye method of like, it starts like you don't exactly know what you're watching for, and then all of a sudden at the very end it shows the product and you're like, oh, that was an Apple ad, or like, oh, that was an ad for Google. I think that's really effective. But yeah, just making the first couple seconds, yeah, the catchiest and just grabbing people's attention right away.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so I think kind of to close, you know, one of the questions that we posed in this article was, so which one's better? And so And I think that one of the things that it's kind of funny, especially at Pixel Labs, is sometimes the answer is it depends, you know? So we talk about OTT has a lot more attention, you know, in terms of actual households that have a service, the audience skews younger. Costs are usually cheaper when streaming on OTT. But it depends, you know. Again, going back to that, just like you both had mentioned, it matters who the viewer is. And so understanding, okay, this is my viewer, this is their typical habits, this is how much time they spend, you know, either watching TV, OTT, they usually are into these types of shows. So what do I need to do to get in front of them? And then to do a really good job in that 30-second, 15, you know, 6-second time slot to really make an impact. But yeah, so any other thoughts kind of as we wrapped up, you know, with television OTT, what platforms do you guys have? Do you subscribe to any of them?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the big one that I think is really utilizing the OTT space right now is Hulu. I think that's really, like, one of the only major ones. I'm sure there's a lot of other, you know, channel, like, you know, ABC or, like, NBC. They all have their own, like, sort of streaming platform that you can watch all the shows on. But Hulu's like one of the big three or four, whatever now, that is really using OTT. And actually really, I always kind of look forward to the Hulu commercials, A, because there's like only three of them, so you don't really have to sit through that much. But they also have some interesting things. Like you can sometimes pick which ads you want to watch. They'll give you the option.
Oh, yeah.
Or sometimes I just think it's a different sort of ad space. And so I'm always intrigued to see kind of what they're bringing there. But yeah, I've always actually really enjoyed the ad experience on Hulu. So,
And that's another interesting way to collect data. You know, if you have the option to do this, this, or this, you know, and you pick, it's like, okay, we'll give you more of this.
Right. Yeah.
How about you, Noah?
I definitely would agree that Hulu, I think, is probably doing the best job in that space, because Netflix, unfortunately, started their whole service out with the whole gimmick of no ads. But now it's getting to that thing of it's becoming kind of expensive. Mm-hmm. And you're not getting as much as what you want because everyone is trying to get into the streaming space. They're removing popular titles. So now Netflix is like its own entity to this point of if you subscribe to Netflix, most likely you're subscribing for Netflix only original content. Which probably justifies, not having commercials. But probably Hulu is doing the best job of that, just because they never promised anything from the get-go, and they've always had commercials, and I think they've just grown in that space.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, too. I think that's just how business goes, you know. The first thought is, oh, we don't want to have ads, you know, like that would never, this is like the no ads place and how...
Makes you unique. It's because everyone then jumped on, everyone started buying Netflix.
Yeah, huge.
Everyone jumped on it because it was only like $7 a month.
Yep.
And then it just slowly went up, and now it's like double that. It's like $14 to $15 a month, I think.
Yeah, it gets expensive. And I know that how we've consumed or purchased some of these is we follow shows that we like.
Exactly.
You know? So it's on this one or it's on that one. And so just kind of funny. But again, thank you both for the time today. I knew that bringing in, you know, your perspective on creative and content production would be really valuable, you know, as folks kind of look at 2022 and their marketing budgets. You know, is television going to be right? Is OTT going to be right? Or is something else going to be right? There's definitely lots of options. I always make the joke that, you know, you could do OTT, you could do TV, or you could, you know, throw business cards off a roof. I mean, they're all strategies, and maybe in the right sense. I hope someday that that's the right method. You know, if there's an
just
event going on,
littering, mass littering.
You know what? Maybe I'll pull that one back. Good point. But, all right. Well, thank you both for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you to the viewers for joining us for the Raising Brand podcast. Again, this article is on our website. You're more than welcome to check it out. We did include a link to that watch commercial from Belova, and this was back in 1941. This ad took place, and the company's been around since 1875. That is just incredible. Yeah. But all right. Well, thank you all. Take care. Have a good rest of your day.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much to everyone for listening today. Be sure to hit that subscribe button on whatever platform you're listening to the Raising Brand podcast on, so you can get notified when new episodes go live. If you'd like to be a guest on our show, or you have a topic you'd like us to talk about, let us know by emailing podcast@thepixellab.co. Again, that's podcast@thepixellab.co. Thank you again, and have a great week.